Welcome, everyone, to the PRSA Southeast District Podcast. My name is Brad Belode. I'm the 2020 chair of the district. The Southeast District serves nearly 3,000 members in the 13 chapters in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. In addition to replays of our best practice calls with chapter leaders, we're also using these podcasts to talk to influencers in the public relations and PRSA community. Today, I'm chatting with Garland Stancil, APR. He's the 2020 chair of the National PRSA Board. He's also Chief Communications Officer at Children's of Alabama in Birmingham. This conversation was recorded in January 2020. Tell me a little bit about your career and your journey through PRSA.
Sure. I began my career really as a student at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And I initially was an accounting major, junior year of accounting. Not doing badly in it, but it was the most boring thing I'd ever done. And I was already married and remember telling my wife, I just can't imagine doing this the rest of my life. I don't know what it's going to be. It's got to be something where I can be creative. And we all know that if you get creative with numbers, that usually ends up, you know, you're behind bars and that's not a good thing.
Right.
So I just the next week went and changed majors. I talked to an advisor in arts and humanities and the School of Communication and changed my major to mass communication and with a public relations emphasis. And so I never looked back and I found that I was well suited for that. It allowed for creativity, it allowed also for strategy, and my previous 3 years and what ended up being a minor in business really helped in that regard. But I became involved with PRSSA as a student, was an officer for a number of years, helped to begin the student agency at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, which is still in operation today. And so, you know, that was some 35 years ago.
Wow.
So I've had a 35-year career, started out interestingly enough, after changing from accounting, working for a mortgage banking company straight out of school. It was the company that I did an internship for, and can't stress enough to students the importance of internships, not only for the experience of what you really love to do, but maybe even more importantly, the experience of things you don't want to do, so you know this is not where you fit. But I worked for the mortgage banking company as assistant director of corporate communications, primarily doing employee communications. That company subsequently went through a merger, and I was part of a layoff. So I found myself looking for a job, having a couple years experience in the PR field and having a few months before moved into a brand new house and a wife that was 6 months pregnant. So not a good timing of being out of a job. But I landed at Goodwill Industries of Alabama, which really was a great place to be. For me, it showed me that I needed something in my life that was more than just a job. I needed something that I felt like was making a difference and was a calling. And so the social service agency was a good fit for me. But another part that was good about Goodwill was that we were very small staff with small budgets. So it stretched me to do a lot with a little. And I also then got to do everything. So I had to learn to do, you know, all aspects. I wasn't just relegated to doing employee communications or just doing a newsletter or just doing press releases. I did it all, everything from video to photography to desktop publishing at that time to campaigns to eventually development and fundraising. And then after several years there, I was there about 6.5 years and had been promoted to vice president of public relations and development. I really intentionally set my sights to come to Children's Hospital here in Birmingham. Children's had a great, great reputation I really believed in the mission and knew several people who work at Children's. And I had a colleague who had been working professionally when I was a student and actually met at a conference, who was working at Children's, who eventually did help me to get a job at Children's. So I've been here now for 26 years. This is my 26th year at Children's.
Congratulations.
And have grown with the organization. We had fewer than 1,900 employees when I started. We now have 5,000 employees. We're one of the top 10 children's hospitals in the country. We have a large volume of patients, and we see patients from every county in the state of Alabama, from throughout the Southeast, usually from 48 to 50 states in the country, and 8 to 10 foreign countries a year. But one of the things that's stayed constant is the mission and my commitment to the mission. I started out doing a combination of fundraising and PR, and then had an opportunity to move into health promotion and advocacy around messaging to help keep families safe in our state and in the area. And then eventually, about 17 years ago, I was promoted to chief communications officer. So I've been in this role. So I've had an opportunity to kind of remake myself and have several different facets of the career at one place where I really have enjoyed being.
That's outstanding. That's quite a dedication to your profession and dedicated service, particularly for the hospital there. Your path to becoming the national chair, is that something that you had in your mind? How did that even become something that you thought you might aspire to?
You know, it wasn't something certainly that I thought about in, you know, the mid 80s when I was a student in PRSSA. And I really was involved with a state organization straight out of college, because I felt like I couldn't really afford to join PRSA. And then when I took my journey through fundraising there for a while, I belonged to a fundraising organization and even became a certified fundraising executive. But then when I turned back to more pure public relations, I became involved with PRSA. And after being involved with the local chapter for a few years, I was on the executive committee as an officer. And then I served as the president-elect of the chapter. I was chapter president in 2006. And during that time, I got involved nationally with the Health Academy. So I think, you know, most PRSA members know that we have special interest sections, our sections. And so I was involved with the Health Academy and ended up running for, I liked the work there. I liked the idea of having a smaller cohort of colleagues within PRSA that I could develop relationships and have to bounce ideas off of that were in healthcare. So I ran for office for the executive committee of the Health Academy and was elected and was a member at large. I helped the first couple of years on some committees. One of those was the National Health Academy Conference Committee. And then about 2 years after that, I chaired the conference for the Health Academy. And it was the first time that the Health Academy had a conference outside of Washington, D.C. It had always been in D.C. But we were only attracting the same people over and over, and not too many people from the Midwest or the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we would be a little courageous and move the conference to Chicago. And there were some naysayers who said, oh, that's not going to be great. And we ended up having a really great conference, and still to this day, one of the best attended conferences that the Health Academy had. And the next year I was elected to chair-elect of the Health Academy, and then I served as chair of the Health Academy. And then I was asked to serve as one of the sections council co-chairs. There's a sections council. Mm-hmm. That's made up of all the section chairs and chairs elect. And so I was a sections council co-chair. So that was kind of my first, you know, taste of PRSA at the national level. And for a few years, I was really involved in a lot of stuff here at my job at Children's. We had a huge capital campaign 1 year. The next year was our 100th anniversary. The year after that, we opened a brand new million square foot facility. So for several years, I was involved in a lot of things here and was not quite as active in PRSA. Although for the local chapter, I ended up being our ethics chair for a year and then our delegate, elected delegate to the delegate assembly for 3 years. So I just kind of almost in a hunch said, you know, there's an open seat on the national board of directors. It was a board member at large seat, and said, you know, I'm going to give it a shot and see what happens. And so I applied and I did the interviewing, and I want to say that year there were 18 people running for that one seat and across the country, and I was the person they selected. So I thought, yeah, this is, you know, unexpected but great. And I enjoyed being part of the board and ran for those 2 years. And some of the colleagues on the board said, you know, have you thought about running for an officer? The board of directors, director positions are a 2 year position on the national board. And as my 2 years was coming up, I said, well, I don't know. I may just run for this seat again. But that was also at the time that the assembly had voted to open those open seats or the at-large seats to non-APRs. And so that year was going to be the first year it would be open to a non-APR. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if I run for my seat again, I may not get it because the nominating committee may want someone with a non-APR, so we could use that. Or I may be taking up that slot that a non-APR could use. So I debated about running for officer position and ended up running for secretary and was selected for that position. And the officer positions are 1 year. So the next year I ran for treasurer. And so the only thing left then was chair-elect. And I thought, well, I've got this, the experience. Yeah. And I really have loved being able to give back. And it was going to be at a time when we were going to be looking at our strategic planning process. And I thought, you know, I really would love to be a part of helping direct the future of PRSA and see where we go strategy-wise. So I ran for chair-elect, was selected for that, and served in that capacity last year and led that strategic planning process, which was really a great, great experience in working with volunteers and our members from all over the country who are passionate about their careers and about PRSA.
Talk some about that process, because the PRSA has just released the Vision 2020, the Courage to Change document that outlines a number of goals and objectives for the organization. Talk about how that document came to be in its state that it is now.
It really was about a year-long process. We identified the committee, and it was kind of a cross-functional committee with some of the national board representatives from all of the communities. We had people on there from the College of Fellows, sections, district, PRSSA, New Pros, someone from the technology committee. I'm trying to think who else was on all that. But it was really a wide selection so that we could have great input. We started out with a survey, and the survey went to the board, to the committee, and to some other leadership across all the PRSA communities to say, okay, what are you thinking are the biggest issues facing PRSA for our future? And what are the things in your estimation that we need to get done to remain relevant, to remain an organization that's meeting the needs of our members? So we did that, and we had I've forgotten now, there were maybe somewhere between 20 and 24 different things that came out of that, and they were kind of put in these buckets. And from that, Then in early April, we had a retreat, about a day and a half planning retreat with that group, along with the senior staff from PRSA National from the office, and went through all that. And that was facilitated by an outside source, Harrison Kerber from Harrison Kerber Associates, who had led our last strategic planning process. And so we spent that time trying to hone what are the top issues. We had lots of discussions saying, yeah, all these are issues, but we can't address 20, 24 issues. Mm-hmm. So we narrowed that down to 8 strategic priorities and had some conversation around what we'd like to see happen or what we thought should happen in those priorities. From there, we implemented a red teaming process. And red teaming is a process that the United States military uses and some other militaries across the world. And it's having a smaller team who will look at a process and really with the intent of tearing it apart and saying, what is not good about this? What could go wrong with it? What have they not considered? What should be a part of this? What areas may need more research and more information and all of that sort of thing. So we sent it to a red team that was comprised of a couple of our board members and then some non-board members who were our members representing some of those same communities that were on the committee. And they did the red teaming and came back to us saying, okay, here are some things we think you need to consider. So then we reconsidered, did some change, and then sent it to Phil Bonaventura, who is our acting, our interim CEO, mm-hmm. and the senior staff for them to look at and then go through there and develop action plan and operational planning behind those. So that's kind of the whole process. So then we ended up, you know, with innovation and change, governance and culture, the convergence of discipline, the discipline convergence where all the different, you know, advertising and marketing and PR are all blending.
Right.
Membership and what we do with our membership. And we're going to be looking at our membership model, which has basically been the same model for 70 plus years.
Right.
Diversity and inclusion, international potential, advocacy on behalf of PRSA, but more so advocacy on behalf of the profession. Mm-hmm. And then civility, we felt very strongly that we've got a civility task force that's in place for this year. We felt strongly that given the contentious times that we live in and the way that it seems we can't have civil discourse anymore around some issues, that PRSA was in a unique position to be able to provide information to our members around civility and how that we can promote civil discourse. And that sometimes you just have to agree to disagree, and that there are different viewpoints and that they can be equally valuable.
I think that's fascinating because as I was looking over those strategic priorities when I got the document, if I could have guessed what the strategic priorities would have been at the outset, you probably could have come up with 6 or 7 that are there. Civility is the one that I go, that's interesting and almost a little sad that's at the reflection of where we are. But I think it's interesting that there's a strategic decision there that if anybody's going to shape the discussion, that perhaps PRSA and public relations and communication of professionals have the opportunity to be the leaders on that.
Exactly. And that's what we're thinking and what our plan is intentionally, so that you know, if we have a seat at the table, where there's the board table, the C-suite, or our departments, or even our work in the communities, that we are in position of influence and to be able to influence how people relate to one another.
Public to public.
Right.
One thing that strikes me and is a recurring phrase in this document is the value proposition of PRSA. Talk about what the value proposition is today and how that's changing over time.
Right. You know, we've been We've been established and operating for a long time under the value proposition of being a member association, an association member-driven organization that provides professional development, which we certainly do, and that operates under a code of ethics, and that's one of our strong suits, is having ethics and advocacy and honesty and expertise and all of the values that we have. But our value proposition is changing because people are changing and our members changing. And what we're hearing from our younger members, our new pros, the millennials and Gen Z and all, is that they're not looking for the same type of experience that maybe I looked for when I came out of school in 1986. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what we're going to be looking at with the membership model. We're planning to do at some point this year a member survey to look at not necessarily are you happy, you know, not a satisfaction so much, although we're interested in satisfaction, but what would you like to see in the future? What are you not getting out of PRSA that you would like to get out of PRSA? The last member survey we had was in 2014. Mm-hmm. And just in that time, we've changed a great deal.
The world has changed.
Yeah, the world has changed. And so we're looking at doing, you know, our research and then planning on that. So
right.
I think the days of us providing a one-size-fits-all membership are past, mm-hmm. and we're probably already behind. So if we can begin to offer options on membership and engage members the way they want to be engaged and give them opportunities in the way they would like to have opportunities. And not to say that it's not going to be scary, because anytime there's change and anytime you mess with something that has revenue attached to it, there's a risk.
Right.
But I think we're at that point that we need to take the risk for the long-term gain, and so that our value proposition increases the ROI for our members. Mm-hmm. If we continue to be what we have been, we may not grow. And one of the things that we've been looking at for the last 10 years, really, is our membership has stayed virtually the same. We've had around 21,500 members, and we add 1,000 to 1,200 members every year, but we lose 1,000 to 1,200 members every year.
Right.
So, you know, we're holding ground, and that's better than a lot of associations are losing membership, yeah, or they're closing. But we really want to grow, and in the profession's growing. We hear that there are more and more people going into communication. So whether they're calling it marketing or they're calling it core comm or PR, there are more and more going into communication. And I think companies are seeing that they need to have a really good communication effort in order for their company to be successful. So if we're seeing more majors and we're seeing more in the profession and we're seeing those who are transitioning from other fields like broadcast journalism and traditional journalism coming into PR, the field is growing.
Yeah.
So we should be growing along with that.
Exactly. You mentioned the survey that is coming. Where else does this document go from here? Because there's a lot of goals, a lot of objectives, a lot of worthy ambitions here. What is it going to take to begin executing that?
Well, we already actually started. The execution of it falls to the staff and to the CEO. So that has already started. Mm-hmm. Work's underway in regard to getting the survey, you know, started and to get that out. The document itself has been sent to all the leadership, so chapter presidents, the district leadership and sectional leadership have all received it. It's been posted to my PRSA and it's posted on PRSA.org.
Yeah.
So we are hoping. I had a call yesterday with some of the leaders of those communities, and I'm hoping that the chapters, districts, and sections will take this as well and say, okay, how can we do these same things? What does innovation and change look like in our chapter? Right. You know, do we need to look at our governance and our culture? Last year we had a review and some changes in our bylaws on the national level, and we've asked all the chapters to look at their bylaws because some chapters haven't looked at their bylaws in who knows how long.
Right.
So look at the governance and say, hey, do we even still operate this way? And then what are they doing around this discipline convergence in their area with the colleges and universities that they work with? Are they helping students be prepared more? If we've got members who are adjunct professors at some of the colleges and universities in these programs, are they helping students understand what is the difference between public relations, marketing, and advertising, and how do they all work together? And if you are developing a plan, a strategic plan for a campaign, how do those all work? Students don't get that in the colleges and universities because mostly it's still separated between marketing in the business school and journalism in the journalism school. And the PR program could be wherever the school decides to put it. So, and then what are they doing about membership and their own diversity inclusion and like I said, about civility and advocating for the profession. So I'm hoping that some of what we can set at the national level and some of the materials and some of the ideas and all that are coming out can be shared in a way that they can be localized in a way that kind of permeates the entire association.
That's fantastic. Yeah, there's a lot here. And I think you can see where chapters and districts and sections can identify, yeah, we need to think about this particular area, or we hadn't thought about that. So let's consider what we can do at our local level to support what national is doing, and certainly national providing guidance on what good looks like, whether it's through the speaker training that's identified in here, or how to enhance chapter programming. There's probably dual roles in the inputs and the outcomes that this thing's ultimately going to shape up to be.
Right.
Well, Garland, I appreciate your time. I didn't want to take any more than this. It has certainly been interesting, and certainly you have set in motion, along with the work of the team that put together the strategic plan, what I think looks to be a very promising future for PRSA.
Well, we hope so, and you know the plan. We hope so, and we think so. The plan itself, we say PRSA. Vision 2020 and playing, I mean, a lot of organizations all are playing on that, but we did want to think about the vision and our forward vision and our future vision. But part of it is moving PRSA forward. We don't need to be moving back. We need to continue moving forward, and we don't need to be just standing still.
Yeah.
And I've got on this, it is kind of a subtitle, is the courage to change. And I think it takes courage to change, but we are going to have the courage to step out there and make some changes that really will help move us forward and have us in a good place as we continue to meet the needs of our members.
You've been listening to our conversation with Garland Stansel, APR, the 2020 National PRSA Chair. You can learn more about the Public Relations Society of America at prsa.org. More information on the Southeast District is available at prsasoutheast.org. You can find more episodes of the PRSA Southeast District podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple, Spotify, and Google Play. I'm Brad Belote. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.